It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Lamar Wilson joins Gina, Jeff, and me to talk about Will Wheaton. He's ranting the Google Plusification of everything. I hate it. Or do you? We'll find out next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 145, recorded May 2nd, 2012. Ham isn't kosher. This Week in Google is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get my special offer, go to Stamps.com now, click on the radio microphone, and enter Twig. That's Stamps.com. Use the offer code Twig. And by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Ting is running a dump your contract contest and will buy out one winner's mobile service contract every day for the month of May. Go to Ting.com/DYC to enter. And by GoToMyPC. Why commute when GoToMyPC lets you work from wherever you are? Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Use the offer code TWIG. Time for Twig This Week in Google. I'm back, baby. Stand back. Joining us right now from San Diego, California, weighing in at 122 pounds, it's Gina Trapani of SmarterWear.org.
122, I wish. Great to have you back, Leo.
Nice to see you, Gina. I missed you guys. I miss you.
I missed you, too.
I need my Glee and Chipotle and Gutenberg fix. Jeff Jarvis is also here speaking of Gutenberg and Habermas at BuzzMachine.com.
Lassie, you're back. I used to cry at the end.
Lassie! Come back, Lassie! Anyway, I'm sorry. I like I lost it.
Oh, wait, let me do a tribute to the guest you're about to announce. Yeah!
Let me think. Who could that be? Oh, it must be Lamar. Lamar Wilson's here from Wilson Tech One, the famous YouTuber, the funniest man in tech, self-billed.
I'm the I do more current events now, so it's kind of, I'm funniest man ever.
Ever. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. That's really good. I'm the funniest looking man in tech. Does that count?
It does. I screen cap that.
You don't have to screen cap, but there'll be more. Let me tell you. Hey, boy, there's a lot to talk about. I guess, you know, I'm going to have to apologize if I repeat, because I was in Norway for a while. By the way.
Do you have any hearing?
No, but you know what I had? We were in a little town called Kristiansund. Not Kristiansand, but Kristiansund, which is on the west coast of Norway, right at the bend in the Spoon. And they're famous. The whole town is founded on the the Klippfisk industry. My mouth is watering talking about Klippfisk, which is short for cliff fish, which is a cod that is dried on the rocks of the cliff. And you may know it better as bacalao or bacala. It's dried salted cod, and it's fabulous. So I had a lot of cod. And one of the photographers there, celebrity photographer Greg Gorman, went out and he caught a cod, a fresh cod or a halibut? No, it was a mackerel. And we had that one night. It was delicious as well. So we ate a lot of fish soup, fish, fish fritters, fried fish. It's a kind of a fishy cuisine there in Norway. And I loved every minute of it. So thank you. And we had such great hosts. Who were there, the folks at the Nordic Light Festival, and Odd Inga, I'm sure, is watching. He has a little cottage he goes to, and he's got a whole Twit man cave dedicated to Twit there. And anyway, it was a blast. And well, you know, we're going to do two special Twit photos from Norway. Not next week, but the 2 weeks after, because give us a little time to edit this down, where we interviewed some of the most interesting, best photographers in the world. I mean, just real Bruce Davidson. And Greg, and I mean, just Greg Gorman. The cast and crew are incredible. Morten Korgvold. I think I'm saying that right. Korgvold. Anyway, really fun. So thanks to our hosts at the Nordic Light Festival in Kristiansund and everybody in Norway. We did a boat. So there's a boat, the Hurtigruta boat, which goes from Kristiansund to Bergen. And it's a really wonderful, beautiful, through the fjords, to kind of go in and out like this, through the fjords going down. It's incredible. And then we're in Bergen, which is this beautiful old city. It's one of the historic cities of the world. And then we took a train from Bergen through the Spoon, through the middle of the Spoon, all the way to Oslo. That, like, an eight-hour train trip that was just, like, snow. Like, we're in the – well, it's, in fact, we went through the town that they shot The Empire Strikes Back. The ice planet Hoth is this town. And it looks like you're going through Hoth. It's wild. Beautiful. Anyway, loved it. I have lots of pictures. We'll show them enough. Meanwhile, Will Wheaton's pissed. And Lamar, you wanted to talk about this. But Lamar, I got to point out, I've been complaining about this, the Google plusification of everything Google does for some time. And it's just gotten worse and worse. And now Will's complaining that in order to plus one, to like a video on YouTube, you have to have a Google Plus account sign in. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised at all by this. I read his rant, which is a short one, and I was like, I like Will, but it seemed a little ridiculous that he went off and ranted about this, because YouTube is like the last thing that Google owns that isn't Google-fied. It's been sitting on its own island for a while, so it makes sense that it starts getting integrated with their products. And you know, you think about YouTube, even with their messaging system, all of it is still kind of crappy code that they bought, and they've never really made a brand new YouTube. They're now starting to kind of integrate those things together. So I think it's a positive thing, Leo.
He says for a producer like me, I'm going to lose a crap ton. That's a Wheatonism of potential upvotes for Tabletop. That's his show about tabletop gaming on Felicia Day's new channel. Because the core of my audience is tech savvy and may not want to, quote, upgrade to yet another effing social network.
That's just snot on snot. That's a snot sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, but I agree with him, because here's my problem with this. I mean, look, I understand this is inevitable.
We're too cool for school.
I just don't like it that Google is forcing Google Plus down everybody's throat. That kind of bugs me. Okay,
right.
Jeff, why are we wrong?
I felt the same way about Yahoo forcing its registration on us when it got Flickr. I have said that. However, the problem I have is the same with the privacy settings and other things. If all of this had started as Google in day one, it would all be Google Plus now, and no one would complain.
Right.
It's only because they're moving on to legacy things that people say, oh, I don't like change. I hate change, which is an awful thing for tech people to say.
But what about this channel conflict that we've talked about before? Shouldn't Google either be a search engine or a YouTube, a video
site? It's a search engine. It's not a search engine.
Right. So can they get out of the search business now?
Well, YouTube is the second biggest search engine that is out there.
It's the biggest one. There's nothing bigger than Google.
You're
saying YouTube.
YouTube itself, yeah. So, you know,
by itself, that's interesting. You mean by itself, the number two search is on YouTube?
Yeah, absolutely. People go there specifically to search for videos.
That makes sense.
At some point, Leo, I think they need to combine, you know, YouTube and Google Plus accounts. So if you already have a YouTube account, then what they should do, and I kind of
done that, Lamar. If you have been encouraged for some time now to merge your Google account and your YouTube account.
Right, however, you still, and that's true, but you still need to do the extra step of signing up for Google Plus. And so they need to simplify that and say, if you already have a YouTube account and you're already signing in, you automatically have Google Plus, just kind of like they do if you sign up for
a
Gmail now.
That's going to happen anyway, although that's what I mean by forcing Google Plus down your throat. I guess we just have to live with Google Plus. You're a member.
I think Will is upset about the thumbs up, thumbs down being replaced by a plus one. And really, isn't everyone doing the plus one or likes? Facebook is doing. There is no negative button. You know, if people don't like it, they move on. I think it helps with search results because it'll go throughout Google, whereas the thumbs up and thumbs down on YouTube right now only stay on YouTube. It doesn't provide any metadata for Google and ranking that video. So I'm all for the thumbs up, thumbs down being gone if it helps our videos be searched.
It's still there for, on my page. I'm here. I am.
They're testing it. They're testing it with a few users. I've seen some of my subscribers say they have it.
So we still have thumbs up, thumbs down, but at some point that's going to be replaced by plus one.
Yeah, yeah. They've been testing it, and it's going to happen. It has to happen because they want to make this all unified.
Yeah.
All right, Gina, your vote.
I thought that Will's rant was a little heavy-handed, but I also am not as active in the YouTube community as he is and as his viewers are. I mean, I think that there's a whole, like, kind of separate culture inside YouTube, a separate community culture, and it's all about views and likes. So, you know, when you mess with one of those mechanisms, I can see why people would be upset. I felt similarly, you know, when Yahoo, you know, kind of inserted itself into my Flickr experience, for example. So I understand being upset when things change. At the same time, it seems like this unification is actually a good thing because plus ones on videos will make them rank higher and just plain vanilla Google search results.
Absolutely.
It'll mean that videos show up in the Google Plus stream more often. You can see videos that your friends liked inside your search results and inside Google Plus. I mean, I think in the end, it's actually good for videos. I mean, Will's concern is that it's going to mean that his videos get fewer likes or plus ones and get less audience. But I think that actually the opposite in the long term will happen.
My concern is a little different. Let's say as a producer of video, I don't want to use YouTube because I keep getting pulled down for all sorts of stupid reasons by companies that have nothing to do with the content of my shows, but somehow have gotten into the Google.
Do you think that would happen?
Happens all the time.
I know.
So,
Just theoretically.
Let's say that were happening. So I say, well, you know, really, I'm just going to use Vimeo because I really like Vimeo. It's giving me a great experience. I want my viewers to watch my shows on Vimeo. Vimeo does not show up very well on Google because of Google Plus and YouTube and the integration.
Also because it simply just has a lot less traffic.
Well, but I'm just saying,
does it show up high on Bing?
I can't make that choice because I need to be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Regardless of all the other things, because that's what shows up best in search.
It's the new cable MSO. It's
true. And so that's the channel conflict I'm talking about. It forces independent producers to participate in YouTube, even though YouTube is not by any means the best solution. Quality, the content pull downs, you know, and the community, the comment community, all are negatives. And I'm still required to because of the fact that Google is using its search as leverage. That's my issue. I've said it before. I'm not going to.
That's a valid point.
Hell yeah, it's a valid point. I made it.
It's his show.
My freaking show. I'm concerned. It's that channel conflict. So I don't agree so much with what Will's saying in the sense that it's the Google Plusification of everything. But you're right. This is Google. You're on Google. So Google Plus, if they made that, and they already said they were going to do this, their Google Plus is everywhere. It's everywhere. Done. But I just worry that because Google is also in the content business, as well as the search business, that's church and state. And I'm a little nervous.
I think
that's
why they've been keeping YouTube separate for so long.
Yeah, but it's
because of
less
that
and
reason.
Less.
But it's kind of inevitable now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paige has made it really clear that this unification is going to happen.
Yeah.
So these buttons are an experiment. I'm not seeing them yet. But it would really surprise me if they didn't go ahead with this.
Hey, YouTube in the black, you know, Google bar. I mean, it's all going to be all mushed together eventually anyway.
I mean, there's so many ways to like and dislike and flag. And I mean, even Google Reader is another, you can, you know, you can share, you can star. There's all different ways to indicate that you like something. I mean, in the long term, I like that there's one universal way to say, you know, I like this.
Yeah. And if it helps my search results, that's good, which it will.
Right. Right.
It just, but see, that's my issue is that's leveraging Google, is leveraging YouTube up. And
we got to get somebody at YouTube who likes you, Leo, to take care of you.
That's part
your
of the
issues.
Problem is that I'm not well taken care of by YouTube. But
that's not right.
We're not on YouTube Live. We're not, you know, there's all these things that we don't get. And this is not helping, by the way. You can't tell me that they're not aware of my increasing negativity towards it. And as a result, I'm going to be even further deprecated.
The smart thing to do would be to embrace you.
Well, the smart thing for me to do would be to kiss their ass, but I ain't going to do it. So Vic Gundotra is all excited because Tim O'Reilly is now Mr. Google Plus instead of Mr. Twitter, which he's been for a long time. Scoble's response is, for the last month, I've been ignoring Google Plus and Twitter and spending a lot of time on Facebook.
That's just so Scoble.
That's so Scoble.
That needs to be the name of a sitcom.
That's so Scoble.
I was wondering where Robert was. He hasn't been around on Google Plus much. He was Google Plus king.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him that if all you're looking for is the most response,
Facebook.
It may not be the highest quality response because it's everybody, but it's the most response. And I put a ton of stuff on Facebook all the time, mostly because all my tools do it. Now, I don't like, it's not that I like Facebook. Facebook's a silo. It's a walled garden. It's the worst of the internet. You know, what I want and what we all want, I think, is that we want a free and open internet where all web pages are created equal. That's kind of what I want. I would like an independent search engine that isn't in the content business, that is ecumenical and searches everything. But obviously that's not going to happen. One of the things that was interesting that we talked about at this Nordic Light Festival, we did talk about the internet. One of the people there is a really interesting fella who's at Nokia. He's a startup guy, and he Hans-Peter Brondmo, and he was talking about, and everybody was a little concerned about, the notion that the internet is about to become corporatized, to be changed, to not be free and open anymore. Do you guys think that that's an issue, that that might be happening, that we may be moving towards silos like Facebook, Twitter, and ultimately Google?
Didn't that already start with AOL with their walled garden back in 1990s?
Well, that was my point. AOL did it and failed.
Right.
But maybe it's time to come back to it. Certainly, that's what Tim Wu says in The Master Switch. He says it's just a matter of time before big corporate interests assert their control and dominance on the internet, and that's it for the free and open internet.
That's why I think it's really important to create peer-to-peer networks. Yes. I definitely think this is a problem, and this is a problem that I'm working on, and I hope to make some sort of dent in. I definitely think it's an issue. And, you know, Scoble's piece about Facebook and even Tim's piece about Google+. Google+ is great, and Facebook has its uses and all that. But the reality is, though, if you've got something important to say, if you're a content producer and you want to put it somewhere that you want to keep, kind of, you know, like books on a shelf in a library versus just kind of like pieces of garbage going down the stream, you've got to blog it and then link it in all your different
social streams.
That's
why I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to have twit.tv. Lamar, do you post your content anywhere besides YouTube? Do you have your own Lamar page?
You know, we talked about this on the last twit, and I have yet to do it because I feel like
YouTube is free. It's very seductive.
Yeah, and I feel like even just having my own website, whether it's – and I do own WilsonTech1.com or LamarWilson.com.
But you don't put stuff there.
I don't, because I've done sites before, and they sit on an island by themselves and have no social connection, and people don't go. Whereas when I make Google+ my primary place or YouTube, then I get all the traffic that I could want. So
listen to that.
It's a tough situation. I haven't figured out whether I should blog or not, because I already do video blogs.
So right. On the one hand, Leo, you're talking about Facebook being an island and isolated. Lamar just said that his site on the open web is an island because it doesn't have all those connections that the social site brings.
Absolutely.
Well, it's possible to do that with Discuss or other tools that can bring social into
your... link, really.
Yeah. But I mean, but Lamar, sorry, Jenny, Lamar is an example of the modern content creator. It's so seductive. YouTube is free. Everybody sees it. Google promotes it in search. So why not just use YouTube? But I agree with Gina. We want to have our own place that's ours.
Right. I mean,
who's going to store all of my videos for free?
Well, this is the thing. Video is a little bit of a different animal, right? It makes it you know, it doesn't make sense for Lamar to stream video from his own website, right? It's going to be costly.
We
do. Have it on his own blog. Well, right. You do. But
you're
Lamar's
rich.
A one-man show. Right. I think more in terms of like photos and essays. If I'm going to write an essay about something that I feel strongly about, that I spent a lot of time working on, I've researched, putting that on Facebook or Google+ just feels like it's not giving it sort of the place on my kind of my shelf, you know, the permanent place on the shelf that I want it to have. I want it to have a permalink that I've picked, that I've chosen, that I can maintain, that I own, regardless of where these networks go in the future. And then I'll share a link to it on those places and with excerpts and whatnot. That works. So I feel that way about written works and photos to some point. Video is kind of a different thing. I mean, Wilson.
Only because it's so big and rich, right? So it's so expensive to store and deliver.
Right. Yeah. It's costly. I mean, you have. Lamar, you have your videos on DVD or the original files kind of stored on your hard drive, right? I mean, you just don't post them to YouTube and let them just, that's it, right? I mean, that would be insane.
I do keep a backup. I do keep backups. Actually, two double backups of them. So
In case
anything ever happens, I can always put it somewhere else.
I want to take a break because you said something, Gina, that's very provocative. There's Wilson Tech one for those of you watching.
He is very handsome.
Good looking fella.
He is a good looking fella.
I don't know who that guy on the top, though, is. That's a different person.
That's called insane, Wilson.
You said something, Gina, very provocative. You basically are advocating a dark net. You talked about peer-to-peer, a secondary internet. Let's talk about that when we come back, because I think that's exactly what's going to happen, and I'm a little concerned about that, too. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're watching This Week in Google. Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis, Lamar Wilson. Great panel. I'm so glad to be back. I missed you guys. I missed the deep intellectual whining that we've become so well known for. And more whining to come. But first, a word about stamps. Did you know that stamps.com, 2 billion letters and packages have been sent using stamps.com? That's how we send all of our mail, because you don't have to go to the post office. That is just fantastic. Fantastic. We've got the USB scale. Plug that into the computer, Mac or PC. Plop your letter or your package down on it. Boom, you know exactly what it costs with always up-to-date pricing, even though, you know, the postage went up. But don't worry, stamps.com handles that. You never pay more. Have you ever put more stamps on a package because you wanted to make sure it went through? You're wasting money, in effect. Never again. Stamps.com. Exactly the right postage all the time. Discounts you can't get at the post office on priority mail and express mail. Up to 21% discounts on express mail. 15% on priority mail, thanks to stamps.com. And you never have to get up from your desk, which for many of us is, you know, something, a goal. you never have to leave your desk because the postal carrier comes to you, picks up the stuff. You can even schedule free pickups anytime. I just love it. For international mailing, it's great. They fill out the forms for you. Priority mail, express mail, same thing. They'll pull your addresses for invoices, sales orders, or any transaction right from QuickBooks. If you use QuickBooks, if you're an eBay or an Amazon seller, it is great. You get the data automatically back from eBay. You don't have to copy and paste. It does it automatically. I mean, I can go on and on. What I want you to do is visit the site, stamps.com. Now, wait a minute. I see a special offer, $80 value. That seems pretty provocative. But if you, I would suggest click that little radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and I want you to use the offer code TWIG and watch what happens. Magically, impress go, that $80 offer turns into a $110 bonus offer, and you get a creepy picture of me. So I don't know which is more appealing.
I'm going to sign up just for that picture.
That's really old. That's from the screensavers. Leo's going, why don't you use stamps.com? $110 value, $55 in postage coupons, a free digital scale, a $5 supply kit, and a four-week trial, all for shipping and handling on the scale. That's it. You're going to just love this. I want you to try it right now. Stamps.com. Use the offer code TWIG. Don't forget to click that microphone to increase the free postage to $55, making it a $110 value in all. Stamps.com. It's well-named. Because that's it. That's where you go. Not just stamps, postage, everything. So, Gina, you say you want to start a peer-to-peer internet. Is that not a dark net? Is that not a second, like a tiered internet? Like for this, what are you talking about here?
So I think that a few years ago, the idea that every single one of us would have a little computer in our pocket where we could install apps that was almost as powerful as the computer on our desks.
That'll never happen.
That seemed insane. So I think we're moving toward a place where everyone is going to have their own little cloud space, their own little kind of web server. And we're seeing like things like Google Drive and Dropbox and those kind of cloud hosting things, even Carbonite and Mozy get toward it. And then we see things like Amazon EC2. So the Dropbox, Google Drive is for consumers, right? But then we see services like Amazon EC2 and AppFog, these kind of virtual machines that you can just spin up and run a web application on. Those are mostly for developers. I think that those two classes of product are going to merge, and it's going to be really easy for people to spin up apps or kind of their own websites on hosting providers, but it's going to be very easy, like as easy as it is to install an app on your phone right now. And that everyone's going to have their own kind of little personal cloud where they can serve content, where they can stream that content out to different silos like Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and wherever else, and little clouds that can talk to one another as well. So we own and control our data in a space that we pay for, that we can choose a provider for, but we're also not just, you know, pumping data into corporate-owned social networks like Facebook and even Google Plus, who kind of own our content and make decisions about what our profile picture can look like and what our URLs look like and all that stuff. So that's the kind of thing that I want to see happen, and that's part of what I'm trying to work on with ThinkUp.
I think that's admirable, but don't you worry,
Gina,
that
do you think?
Go ahead.
So just so I have to understand. If you were running an app, let's say a video editing app, is that something that you think you run on your server in the cloud, or that you use somebody else's, but your data is constantly going back to your space, and so you can use apps here and there? But or is that an app that you run locally again?
I like the idea of being able to run apps from everywhere, but I like the idea of kind of hosting, controlling my own data.
So it's the data you want to control.
It's the data that I want to control. So yeah.
Yes.
So having that data store, being able to export it, get to it in different ways, to slice and dice it in different ways, and the ability for different cloud apps to work on it, and for me to, you know, apply filters to it, or this gets into kind of what ThinkUp wants to do at some point. So the apps, it doesn't matter where the apps are hosted, but it's the owning your data and being able to stream it out to other places in a way.
Who's the closest to doing that now? Is that Amazon? I mean, you know, not consumer ready yet, but who could jump into that?
There's nothing quite consumer ready yet. With ThinkUp, we're working with PHP Fog, who I really like. They're getting really close to making it easy to kind of have this one-click install of an app like WordPress or ThinkUp or Drupal. We've had these one-click installers on hosting providers. We've had these for years, but I want to get to a place where it's like it's so easy. It's just, like I said, as easy as installing an app kind of on your phone or in your browser.
I mean,
to get there. We still have a lot of work to do. Go ahead, Lamar.
No, I'll say I could see the geeks definitely being into this. I know you're saying this is going to be easy, but the idea of even hosting your own stuff, I mean, even the idea of Google Drive and Dropbox scares the pants off most average consumers. They just they don't want to deal with that. They just like it where, you know, some of them use their own ISP email, that, you know, versus getting a Gmail. It's like it's going to take a – what do you think it'll take to get people – to realizing that, hey, this is a one button press and you have your own servers and it's not complicated like it could be now?
Well, I think as Gina said, apps on the phone, you might have said before, oh, nobody's going to carry something with all those apps on it. I think that's penetrated consumer consciousness. And
right. I mean, it has to be an absolutely compelling experience, right? I mean, that's what gets people to try things.
I think it's the other way around. I think it will be transparent. I don't think it'll be an experience at all. I think it's just going to happen, and people won't know they're doing it almost.
Intel inside. Cloud inside.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Apple is doing iDrive, cloud, you know, iCloud.
iCloud.
That's why Skybox, Skyfire, I don't freaking know the name.
SkyDrive
on Windows. That's why the OS companies are doing it, because they want it to be internal, transparent. And I think you're exactly right. I think the idea of apps, software as a service, mm-hmm. will become as commonplace as apps are today, and it will be I don't think you'll know you're doing it.
Right. I mean,
Kevin
like
Marks, are
here's,
you watching?
Here's the magic I anticipate 3 or 4 years from now, maybe even sooner. This is a thin client, your computer, whatever you're using, and you log into a state that is out there. Everything is out there. There's nothing on here. And all your apps and everything are out there running off servers. The advantage of that is you don't care what device you're using. It's a similar experience across all platforms. Is that what you're talking about, Gina?
Yeah, I mean that's part of what I'm talking about. Like my app is a to-do app, right? It writes to Dropbox. My to-do list is just everywhere because it just syncs magically.
The problem with the Chromebook or Chrome OS is it looks like a browser. It can't do that. You know, they made a mistake by making it look too much like a browser.
Who's running the servers?
It should be an app.
I think that's what I'm still trying to understand. Who's running the servers? Is it going to be a big company like
somebody
Google?
Evil like Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, One of the big
choice. It's still not your own server.
You have a choice of where to host.
So you right, you're right. You get a choice.
Or okay. you could truthfully, if you. But this is be your. This is where Lamar. You're right. This is way too sophisticated. There's no reason you couldn't have a Pogo plug or similar device and be doing exactly the same thing out of your house. And then you're not using Google. And Gina will be the person who's just like now saying you ought to have your own web page. Will be saying you ought to have your own cloud.
Right.
And but you'll be in the minority as I will be.
I wrote this in What Would Google Do? Where I think that this is really dreamy. This is really going beyond the pale of optimism. But your cable company, your ISP, should have been thinking this way for years, saying,
absolutely.
Here's your space. You know?
Yes.
Remember, right? you used to get a website when you got internet access.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah.
The space they gave you was crazy.
But they should go back to that. I think you're absolutely right. I think they should go back to that. Now, of course, Comcast has caps, which is going to make all of the, so this is part of the issue, is net neutrality has to be preserved and caps have to be overturned. And that means there has to be competition. Caps do not survive in the face of true competition. The only reason they can exist at all is because who are you going to go to?
Right. So we go the opposite way. There's a story on the rundown talking about the arrival of the Schmitternet. coined on this very show.
Schmidt happens. What is the Schmitternet? Yes.
Well, it argues that now that you have Comcast, I think we've talked about this glancingly, if you have Comcast going through a game console and saying, oh, that doesn't count toward your cap, bingo, that's the end of wired net neutrality right there. Because it says that traffic that goes through that device where they have a special deal
absolutely.
Is privileged.
Yep. So, of course, you're a customer.
Right. So, Gina, I'm trying to... the two ways to think about your vision is one, to look for the opportunity and who should do it and who could do it, where's the business. The other is to look at the danger and say, how will the big boys stop this?
Well, one way they're going to stop it. Apple is already rejecting any app that has Dropbox in it.
Oh,
bingo.
Don't even get me started.
Or these big companies will buy the ISPs and then they have the control.
So this goes back to a discussion of principles. That we have to have this is a discussion that you missed the rant last week, Leo, having a much better time eating dried fish. But I talked about this event that Union Square Ventures held on Hacking Society and, a discussion of principles around this, I keep on saying is vital so that you can look at any of these players and say, no, that defines evil.
Tim Wu totally predicted this in the Master Switch. He said, look, they're not going to sit back on their haunches for much longer and allow a free and open internet. As soon as you guys work out all the technical details, AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, whoever the stakeholders are, just say, hey, thanks, see ya. We got it. We'll take it from here. That's why, Gina, everybody has to learn how to program.
No, everybody doesn't have to. So,
yes!
Right now, I pay for a backup service like Carbonite. I pay for web hosting, and I pay for, I don't pay for, but I might upgrade my Google Drive or my Dropbox for more storage. So I'm already paying for kind of web space, cloud space. I want all those things to just kind of merge, and I want companies to compete to provide that to me. I mean, Amazon is absolutely equipped to provide that. Right now, you can spin up a virtual machine on Amazon and run what you want, store what you want. Google is absolutely in a position to do this. Companies like Carbonite and Mozy, companies like Dropbox. I mean, everybody's sort of coming at this from a different angle. But the reality is that we're moving toward a place where everyone has kind of their own personal cloud. And I just want to see those things merge. I want to see it become really easy. I want to see it get to a place where it's really easy for anyone to spin up a web app anywhere and make it as easy as it is to install an app on your phone. I think that this can happen. I don't know. Most people think I'm crazy when I talk about this because they're like, that's just never going to happen. No one wants to host their own website. It's too much of a pain. Everyone wants hosted service where they don't have to think about it. That might be true, but I think there are a lot of interesting advantages that you get when you own your own cloud, when you can do your own calculations on your own data, when you own your own data, and when you can do peer-to-peer communications. And I think there's a lot of business opportunity here for these companies. So
that's what you should be building, right?
That's
the key to that, you are building, I know, but the key to that becomes the first consumer prospect you can give of adding value through being together, right? Only because you're this data and that data are in the same place and you control it, can you get Only because X and Y are the same place, can you get Z? So you become the provider of Z.
Right, exactly.
That's what service
right.
Is,
so,
right?
So instead of going to a party that Facebook is hosting, having a party in a public space, but getting value from that space, meaning like if my cloud can talk to your cloud, Jeff, and what can we get from that that we can't necessarily get from
Right. It doesn't obviate Facebook existing. It just demands that Facebook be portable.
Right. I mean, Facebook doesn't. I mean, Facebook can still exist, and we can be pumping content into Facebook. Facebook actually does benefit from this. Facebook can get more interesting data from us because we've got computing power on our side, and we can get insights and analytics from our own stuff and our own social graph that maybe Facebook doesn't surface.
The problem is that Facebook then no longer has a monopoly on that information, and that means a competitor can come along, and that's not what Facebook's going to want to have happen, right? Mm-hmm. They want to protect their monopoly on that information. That's why Facebook right now is a silo. Facebook has no read API, right?
No, and the funny thing is you have Bob Pittman.
They have a graph, social graph. But what was the deal? Well, I guess they changed this, but for a while it was only 24 hours. They changed that, though.
Oh, they have all kinds of crazy terms of service about how you can access the API.
They really want to control that. They do not.
They absolutely do. All the more reason why you should want to host your data in your own space where you can decide what people can do with it.
Right.
Okay. I'll get a website.
No, but Lamar's case is actually really a good one. Hosting your own video files does not make sense for an indie creator. It just absolutely doesn't. But Lamar, you should have backups of all your videos. Yeah. The website, streaming video. I mean, hosting video is just huge files. It's very costly. But as server space and bandwidth and CPU cycles and virtual machines and all the costs of those things go down, that will become, I think, maybe easier in the future. But you do have a backup of everything because if YouTube goes away or if there's a new video distribution channel, you want to be able to get your stuff there too.
Absolutely.
Right. The other thing you have to say that YouTube did right in its original model is by making the content that you do put there embeddable, right? It allows you to put it on your blog. It allows you
that
to put it
awesome.
on Google Plus, which of course they do. How easy is it to put it on from YouTube on Facebook or YouTube on
it's a button click away.
Yeah,
it's
right.
They really made it now, super easy.
So what they're doing is they're hiding the fact that they have the content and you don't. It makes it look like you have the content.
Well, that's the cynical conspiratorial way to look at it. But I would also say that it also lets you put the content wherever you want. The problem I would say is the opposite. I'm
until they pull it down because of content violations.
I agree. Stipulated, Your Honor. Yes, but I would also say that Google Plus should allow you to easily embed Vimeo videos, and you can't do that.
Do you know how screwed we would be if our only source of video were YouTube?
Oh yeah.
Well, Google Plus allows you to Google Plus embeds Vimeo. I'm pretty sure if you put a Vimeo link in Google Plus, it will embed it. I'm pretty sure.
Really? Because when you go in and embed a video, it asks you for a YouTube URL.
I think if you just drop a link in the compose box,
assuming videos do. They'd have to actively block Vimeo because there's a standard for what will happen when you put a link in. And if you have metadata in there, it's supposed to just do it. So they would have to do something highly anti-competitive that would get them in a lot of trouble.
Vimeo would have cried foul long ago if that happened.
Yeah.
I'm trying it right now, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure it does. True. And that's really up to Vimeo, including the metadata that will tell YouTube how to display it and stuff. Now, what I'm curious about is, did they display the video as big?
They do. The video is big with a big play button.
Good.
If you just drop the link in.
Never mind.
They'd get in too much trouble if they didn't do that. They have to do that.
Good. All right.
Well,
all right.
Unlike Apple that just starts blocking apps.
Dropbox.
Dropbox.
Well, that's, and what is the excuse? That there is an in-app purchase involved?
When you log into Dropbox from your iOS account, it brings you to the Dropbox website and says sign into Dropbox to grant access.
Right.
And there's a link that says, if you don't have a Dropbox account, you can create one here. If you click on the create link, you can register for a Dropbox account. And then on the confirmation page, Dropbox says, oh, by the way, you can buy more storage if you'd like. And that is what Apple is objecting to, that three or four clicks into the interaction with Dropbox and Mobile Safari, you can purchase storage from Dropbox, and
it's truly restraint of trade.
I mean, it really crosses the line from protecting your business interests into being just a big old unreasonable bully. And they're working with Dropbox right now. It seemed like a really unreasonable reason to reject Dropbox apps. I mean, it's not like Dropbox has a big, buy more space link, on the first screen. It's several screens in, and it's not required. Anyway,
Here's the Vimeo embedding. Yeah, you just paste in a link, and you get a nice
picture. Okay, I was wrong.
No, but I love that Google does that the right way.
Yeah, because all you have to have, and Vimeo, of course, knows how to do this, is the right metadata associated with whatever that link points to, and Google will display it appropriately with big pictures.
And so what that means is, so the two-way portability would be this, right? Coming in, I should be able to similarly embed an article, a blog post, a slideshow, or whatever I want from anywhere.
You can, including your own page, if you have the right metadata.
Right, so you need that, right? Now, the other problem is that it's fine and wonderful that they have the data liberation front, but it's only batch. What I should be able to do is take anything I wrote on Google Plus and not only embed it elsewhere, but now to Gina's point, allow it to mingle with my own data elsewhere.
Right, like, Plus Ones right now. So I Plus One stuff all the time. Where do they go? What happens to them? Can I see a list of all the things that I Plus One? Where does it go? It just goes away into the ether. I just press this button. Like, what is that?
Well, Gina, on your Google Plus page, you can actually go to your profile and then at the last link should be Plus Ones, and you can actually see a list of all your Plus Ones.
Oh, but see, there we go again.
But it's not everything I've ever Plus One.
It's not easy to find.
It's not easy to find, and it's not everything. Like, if I plus one just a post on Google Plus, like, those aren't listed here. These are things I plus one in the search results or, like,
right,
on page.
Outside things, exactly.
So there's a bunch of plus ones that just sort of get lost in the ether. So if I do plus one something on YouTube, where does that go? That is not useful to me. That is only useful to Google right now.
Right.
But that annoys me. Why am I going to the trouble of plus oneing stuff to help Google with the search results if I can't, export my plus ones, if I can't publish them to a stream, if I can't do stuff with that data.
And analyze them and find the trends in them and find...
Exactly. See what other things my friends have plus oned and cross-reference, which ones... I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff that you can do with that. And I have no doubt that Google is going to release the ability, is going to release all kinds of interesting ways to do stuff with your plus ones. But right now, it's just kind of like I press a button and I do it for Google.
I think you're right. I think those kind of trends, if you're able to see exactly where your traffic is coming from, I mean, that's such value. It encourages you to make better posts or make different kind of posts knowing exactly where that's coming from. So I 100% agree with you. I never look at the plus one list. It's my first time looking at mine in about 2 months.
It seems kind of old. This is stuff I plus one. Like, the number one plus one is Twit, and then my blog, then your blog, Jeff. It seems like it's kind of – I don't understand the order of this even.
These are like just plus things that I've plus oned on other sites or in search results.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, but, but it's not like posts that I plus oned inside. And now
they would say is that these plus ones will show, in fact, they do say, will show up when your friends search for something that you've plus one. It will say to you, hey, Leo, plus one to this. It gives it a higher ranking or gives it.
Right.
That's where it shows up.
But where are all the Google Plus posts that I've plus oned? Like, these are just links.
Yeah, you're right. These are not Google Plus posts. Those don't show up here, huh?
They don't show up. Where do they go? I mean, what happens to them? What am I doing?
I don't understand.
Why am I doing this?
I guess it's the same as if you Facebook like someone's post, where does that go? It just kind of disappears into nothingness. I think that's what's happening with the Google Plus posts, which is unfortunate. Because I like to be able to save some of those to go back to. Like, I told Vic... talked to him in a private chat. Like, I would love the ability to star post like you do in Google Reader so I can refer back to them. And I thought plus oneing would give me that ability, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. All it does is give the search engine a more. It's for Google. It's to give the search engine another signal.
And I think people would be more likely to use it if it had more impact than just helping Google.
Right. Yes.
Well, hey, now they give us free stuff, so.
And sometimes the Google giveth and sometimes the Google taketh away, as in the case of Java. We're going to talk about the debate over whether Google screwed Sun, or as James Gosling, the creator of Java, says, slimed Sun, or hey, we didn't copy anything. The Oracle Google update coming up. Also, Galaxy Nexus information. And I'm just going to stick the word John Hamm in here. I don't know why. John Hamm, I guess he's there's a Google bogus Google scandal.
He sounds delicious. I'm hungry.
John Hamm's John Hamm.
He is delicious, let me tell you.
Ham?
He's the best looking man on television. I assume it's the same John. Yes, it is. Good. I'm just checking. Good looking guy. Boy, you put him next to Rupert Murdoch.
He looks
it really is Beauty and the Beast, isn't it?
That's terrible.
It truly is.
It's kind of like the picture of Dorian Gray. This is what he would look like if he didn't have that picture in the attic. We're going to talk about that in just a bit, but first a word. Since we're talking about disintermediation, disruption, subversion, let's talk about a company that wants to completely disrupt the mobile phone industry, Ting, and their Dump Your Contract contest for the month of May. Oh, I love this. They will buy out one winner's mobile service contract every day this month. Every day this month, go to ting.com/DYC to dump your contract. First, you find out how much you'd save with Ting. And by the way, I have to say I love Ting. So what is Ting? Oh, I should explain probably. Elliot Noss at Two Cows came to us last fall and said, I want to do this new thing. I want you guys to be in on this. He says, we're going to be an MVNO, that is a mobile virtual network operator. We're going to take Sprint service, resell it. We're going to create a whole new way of doing cell phone service. No contracts. You pay for just what you use, no more. And we're going to change the mobile phone industry. And I think they are, one user at a time. Take a look at the plans. That's if you go to Ting.com, and this is the getting started thing. You purchase your device. They have actually a really nice list of devices now. Activate your device. Then choose your plan. Let's go to choose your plan because this is kind of fun. Now, you don't even have to choose a plan. I should mention, you could just ignore this process and just pay for what you want. But if you want to kind of have an idea, you get to buy minutes, text messages, and data separately, completely not combined. You can buy 000 across the board and just pay for what you use. And there's no premium if you go over, right? You pay a certain amount per device, $6 per device per month. And nothing more if you and then use pay for what you use. Or you can take a look if you had 3,000 minutes, that's $52 a month. If you had 6,000 text messages, it's $14 a month. But the thing is, get zero, go across the board with zero, and just pay as you go. But if you want a plan, you can do more. Go to their calculator, see how much you'd save. It's amazing. Let's take a look at the devices because every time I go here, they add their own devices. You can bring your own device. But they add some devices right now. The Sanyo Zio for $100, up to the Motorola Photon, which is kind of the hot new top of the line phone, $580. And I want to give you a new URL. This is another one, ting.com/twig. You'll save $50 off of that device. Now, the reason these are a little more expensive, they're not subsidized because there's no early termination fee. It's no 2-year deal. This is it. Month to month, you are under no obligation. They also have great customer support. No wait, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will not put you on hold. They have great email support and an active discussion forum. You blog, tweet. It's really run by a bunch of geeks who wanted to transform the way cell phone service works, and it is fantastic. And for the month of May, don't forget to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Ting.com/DYC to dump your contract. They'll buy you out one person a month for the next month, and I think there's no purchase necessary. Open to all U.S. residents age 18 plus who are on a mobile phone service contract. They can't do this overseas. I apologize for our international listeners because it's much more complicated. But for those of you in the U.S. suffering under the tyranny of AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, or Verizon, this is an opportunity to dump your contract. Ting.com/DYC. Great for businesses, too, because, you know, you just as many handsets as you want, $6 a month a handset, a big pool of data or minutes. that you get really nice as you're using it. I should pull this up. I can't though. I don't want to show the phone number, but you get usage by device, easy to access billing information, control over what features. So it's good for business help content. It's great for families, great for businesses, great for individuals. Ting, TING.com. Save $50 on your device at ting.com/twig. And don't forget to enter the dump your contract contest at ting.com/DYC. They pay the ETF. That's a good idea, I think. Once you're out of your mobile contract, stay contract free with ting.com. Google says there was no copying. Closing statements for the Google trial. Google employed Java APIs in a fair use manner for Android, transforming them into a full smartphone stack. Meanwhile, James Gosling says Google slimed, son. Gina, you're the programmer here. What do you think of all this? I'm sure you've been following this.
You know, the Gosling post or his statements about it. I mean, he's the creator, so I tend to.
He wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it. So I'm like, okay.
And I doubt he has any loyalty to Oracle at this point. I mean, you know, he wrote it for Sun. Most of those Sun guys left when Oracle took over. He says Oracle's doing the right thing, suing.
Well, right, and he left Oracle a few months after they acquired Sun. Well, he's basically saying that no one here is clearly in the right, that everyone's being sort of slimy. But he's saying that it wasn't in Sun's DNA to sue Google over what they were doing with Java. They were not happy about it, but they kind of grit their teeth and put on a happy face and said, hey, we're glad to see that Java's being, you know, utilized across, you know, in such a huge ecosystem that Android is.
Here's the interesting thing. He says, while I have differences with Oracle, in this case, they are in the right. Google totally slimed Sun. We were all really disturbed. Even Jonathan Schwartz, who was the CEO of Sun until the sale, he just decided to put on a happy face and tried to turn lemons into lemonade, which annoyed a lot of folks at Sun. So Gosling's saying Schwartz knew that there was violation, you know, copyright violation or patent violation, and decided, we're going to live with it. Oracle didn't feel the same way.
They decided that, hey, you know, Google was making this huge thing. They were putting Java to great use. It was going to get it into a lot of people's hands. They decided to just go along with it and say, hey, yeah, we're a part of this.
Yeah.
Instead of suing them over it.
Yeah.
But Google says that it was fair use. Although Google tried to win this trial on a technicality, right? They pulled the disks that Oracle filed and there was no data on them. This has just been a
They're
circus.
Blank. What happened?
They needed a cloud backup. That's what they needed.
That is pretty funny.
It's kind of amazing.
Oh, we forgot to put anything on those discs. Just take as written. There's something there.
So the fact that they're trying to win on that technicality is a little bit like, I mean, this whole time I've been feeling that, you know, that it was fair use, and that as a developer, I would assume that those APIs that they're arguing about would be just part of it. I would make the same assumptions. At the same time, you know, you have an email from Andy Rubin saying, hey, we should get a license for this. And then they didn't. And they tried to get the technicality. But now you have the creator saying, hey, you know what? Google did slime us. It wasn't in Sun's DNA to sue them, but Oracle's in the right doing it.
He said the Oracle's lawyer's eyes sparkled.
Yeah.
During the acquisition talks.
He said that this is an ego, money, and power play. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which isn't surprising. But now, I was kind of delighted by this whole thing in the beginning. Now I'm just kind of like, ugh.
So Gina, I wanted to ask you, what do you feel about the, you know, the, what's his name, Nest? So basically saying that, Sun approved this publicly. He said he likes Android and likes what Google is doing, knowing full well. Is that a mission on a blog post or somewhere public? Does that make it a legal case? I mean, does that strengthen Google in that case?
I mean, in my eyes, it did. I'm not a lawyer, but in my eyes, that Sun, you know, and Oracle were thrilled with the adoption of Java, that Android, you know, Android got Java in the hands of millions of people, and they did. They created a whole new, brand new smartphone stack and a complete new ecosystem. It's kind of amazing. I love Android. I love what Google's done with Android. And so, yeah, in the beginning, I said, well, they were in full support of this, and now they're suing. What's going on? But, you know, there's always a story behind the scenes. Now hearing Gosling say, hey, you know, we weren't thrilled that they didn't quite comply with you know, the whole Java's, the whole base of Java was idea of like write once, run anywhere, right? That you write the same code, and it could run on every single device everywhere. And apparently, you know, Android breaks that a little bit. That bothers me a little bit as a developer, especially as a Java developer. So, you know, I mean, I think you make public statements because you say, hey, you know, this thing that we made is part of a huge new thing that's sweeping the tech world. But, you know, in the background, if they were feeling slighted, if they felt like, hey, you didn't use this in the spirit with which we put it out into the world, you know, I get that.
Gosling says something funny. I just want to say this quote because I laugh so hard. He kind of slammed Android a little bit. He says, basically, what's going on in the Android world is that there is no kind of adult in charge. All these handset manufacturers are doing what they damn well please, which means there's just going to be randomness.
That's called open source, though, James. You support that, I thought.
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also there's standards and there's, you know, you buy a license and that makes sure that you sort of comply by a certain, you know, to a certain number of rules and standards that Java enforces. I mean, that's a good thing. Having at least a standard to work toward. Google does this, too, with their hardware specs. You know, the Google name doesn't go on handsets that don't comply with all of Google specs. Now, Android does not use the Java brand. You know, it doesn't say Java anywhere. It doesn't use the coffee cup logo. It doesn't, you know, so they can argue, hey, yeah, we changed things a little bit. We never got the license, but we're not using your branding anywhere. We're not saying this is Java. Kind of like what Amazon is doing with Android. With the Kindle Fire. I mean, this is how it works.
In the chat room, Downclimb says, write once, sue everywhere.
So I just threw this in so we can look at a picture of John Hamm.
He is a beautiful man. Especially in this season of Mad Men.
I just watched the acid trip episode. I'm one behind, but my God.
He's having a good season.
Roger's having a good season. He's executive. Slattery's an executive producer. I think he's writing himself in stuff now. He's like, and I want an acid trip.
Oh, and it only gets better in this past week's episode.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
No spoilers.
It was such a weird... You felt like you were on acid watching the week before because it was all out of order. It's like, wait a minute. Didn't they already go to Howard Johnson? I don't... Anyway.
I've got to confess.
You know, only a million people watch Mad Men. It's a tiny show.
I had no idea what you were even talking about until you said Mad Men.
Yeah. It's just Gina and me.
This is sub Glee.
I can't believe you don't watch Mad Men, Jeff. It's so you.
I tried the first episodes, and it seemed so sledgehammer unsubtle.
Really?
Yeah, the racism and the sexism was just without the slightest subtlety, and I just drove me nuts. And I tried to watch the first couple episodes multiple times, and I just gave up. And I know it's unpopular. I know I'm in the minority, but I couldn't do it. And then once I was lost, I was lost.
I'd force yourself to go back and watch all five seasons right now, Jeff.
That's it, Jeff. You're done. Get
all five and then talk to me about it.
In my old days as a TV critic, you know, I would have watched it.
You would have had to. You don't have to anymore, so you don't.
Yeah, unless I want to. Exactly. Right. Freedom!
Yeah, because he had to watch crappy shows.
The worst week.
And you'd have to watch them all.
I did it in the days of the really long miniseries. Ugh. And I had a policy. I never fast-forwarded. 14 hours of AD was the worst torture of my career.
And you didn't have an iPad or anything else. I mean, you had to watch. That was the days when people watched television.
Tapes. Yeah.
There was nothing else to look at. It's Mama's Family or nothing.
So I missed it. I missed a cultural phenomenon.
It's okay. It's okay. We forgive you.
This is better than Moonlighting. I'm telling you, it's better than Moonlighting. It's that good.
Was there anything better than that show? I don't know.
Maybe Rupert Murdoch and John Hamm together last.
Rupert Murdoch unfit to lead a large company.
Apparently, SOS Racisme, which is a French NGO, has accused Google of reinforcing the notion of an international Jewish conspiracy to control the media. Because when you search for Rupert Murdoch Jewish or John Hamm Jewish, those queries are more likely to show up in autocomplete. See, it proves it. They are not Jewish, but Google is anti-Semitic. I think somebody has to explain how autocomplete. autocomplete works.
Oh, they have to explain how the whole damned internet works.
Apparently.
Yeah. The Google Street View thing is just driving me completely batty. It's gotten so conspiratorial now. And it was legal.
Yeah.
Schmucky, but it was legal.
So this autocomplete thing is if you type in John Hamm or Rupert Murdoch's name, one of the suggest options is Jewish. Yeah.
That's because people are searching it.
They're saying, is he Jewish? Maybe they're looking for a nice Jewish boy with chiseled features or who looks like a Shar Pei.
I don't know. Either way. Name John Hamm, the name John Hamm just isn't kosher.
There are so many.
I think it's obvious.
Good job, Jeff.
Homophobic things out in the world, which were intentionally so, that like getting wound up about something like this is seems crazy. Also, John Hamm's wife, is her name is Jennifer. So if you type in J-E, you know, one of the suggestions is her name and then it's Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of having Gaydar in this case, you need Goydar. Sorry, I'll just keep pumping them out until you cut me off.
Let's see here.
Can we talk about the Google Nexus thing, or is
it? Yeah, well, I mentioned it in passing. Oh, okay. Google, Apple wants the Nexus source code. Google says, "What the hell? We already gave you all that stuff." Apple says, "No, we want it all." Google says, "Yeah, it's protected, just like the iPhone OS is protected." No. And then there was another judge, Judge Posner. Did you see his slap against Apple, saying Apple was frivolous? Better cut it out, knock it off.
No.
No, man. I don't think it was in the Google case. I can't. Maybe it was. It might have been the Samsung.
Apple says they're tired of litigation anyway. Then Tim Cook says he never liked it in the first place.
Good. So, stop it now.
Hopefully they put Apple and Samsung in a room together, lock it, and they can either kiss and make up or do worse things.
It's what companies do when they can't compete. Look what Nokia just did. You know, 27% market loss last quarter. So what do? They sue. Can't beat them.
How long until Apple sues the New York Times?
Ooh.
Man. All out war.
Yeah. Well, and Wall Street Journal and Facebook. Did you see the Wall Street Journal article saying, you know, Facebook's ads don't work? It's just like, it's like, come on. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just want to cover a few more before we go into our picks of the week. Google Cube.
That was addictive.
This is not an April Fool's joke. If you go to playmapscube.com, you probably have to do it in Chrome, right? It's a Chrome experiment. I'm trying it now in Safari, which means it's
good. Yeah, it's a Chrome experiment.
Nothing happens. Your browser's unsupported. You lose.
Your browser is not worthy.
Here's a video on YouTube of what you're missing.
Schmuck.
If you weren't Jewish, you'd probably enjoy this. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, see, now I'm going to get in trouble. So what is this? It's a cube. It's like, oh, it's that marble game with maps.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Travel around the city either biking or going to a bowling alley or walking or driving. I was trying to prepare for this show, and I spent 30 minutes playing that game. That was unacceptable.
I got caught up in it.
Not allowed. You may not play the games we refer to in the show notes.
I'm sorry.
Now I want to play it. I have to launch Chrome first. I don't have Chrome. Oh, yeah, I do. Here it is. I'll save it for after the show. It's worth playing, it sounds like. Yeah, sounds like it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, what about the Winklevoss twin saying the cloud is going to be huge?
So I guess when you get a big, what was it? How much money did they get from Facebook? 40 million.
Well, how much is it going to be, right? Did they get it in equity or did they get it in cash?
I think, yeah, it's equity, right?
Exactly. Ooh, so how much? I haven't seen that calculation. How much are they going to be worth at $104 billion valuation?
Well, you could tell because now they become venture capitalists. And I'm sorry, you know.
Don't these guys just live for staying in the news?
Oh God!
Like the, every few months they pop up with something crazy.
They're just asking to be made fun of. I mean, God, I hate to be insensitive, but God. That quote is horrible, and it's just...
We think the cloud is going to be huge.
Well,
thank you, guys.
And it was our idea, and they stole it from us.
We had an idea for a website.
If you were the inventors of Facebook, you would have invented Facebook.
Yes. Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, as embodied by Aaron Sorkin.
They can easily make Winklebook if they want to.
Winklebook. The funny thing is that at the end, the CNBC reporter asks for their autograph.
It's just too easy to hate someone who's that rich and good looking and duplicated and Harvard educated. Sorry. And there's two of them. Okay, sorry. I'll start up.
And they're twins. All right. Let's take a break and come back. We're going to do your picks, your tips, your numero, and I'm going to let...
talk about the Facebook organ donor app.
Facebook organ donor app. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Huge success.
800%, dude.
That's really awesome.
That's great. And just really in California.
100,000 signed up on the first day. Peer pressure via social network. They added an organ donation tool to Facebook, which I haven't seen yet. So how did you see it? Does it show up in your...
No, you have to go. I think they'll recommend it to you. You have to go to your health settings, and then you can say that you are an organ donor. And if you're not one, you can sign up to be one, and you can share it with friends, family, or the world.
Wait a minute. Facebook has health settings?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
What the hell? What do you mean?
Oh, I guess mostly it was I have a zit today.
Heart condition?
But you see how long mine are. Oh, man, they go on forever.
You're not joking. Facebook actually has health settings?
Yeah, I don't know where to find them. Yeah, they're there.
Wait a minute. All right. So maybe it shows up in my app requests.
That shows you how to do it shows you.
Hey, Jeff, have you seen, is there a place where I can donate all of my extra fat that I have?
Oh, Lamar, get in line.
I'd love to sign
get
up for that.
Get in line.
I see you lose a little bit of hair. I want to donate my ear hair to for a transplant.
That's disgusting. I do not want ear hair. Okay, if I search for organ.
It's better than nose hair.
Facebook help organ donor.
Yeah, so, if you just go up there and look for organ.
Here's how to share that you're an organ donor with your friends. Huh, you do it on your timeline. Oh, it's a life event. That's what it is.
Yes, okay, sorry. Yes, under life event, I think it has help.
Okay, let me go back. So I have to go to my timeline. I'm just going to show it so everybody knows how to do it. So here we are. We're in Leo Laporte's timeline. Hey, we brought Facebook down. Everybody's doing it. Oh, sorry. Okay, and then it would be in here and somewhere in my health life event. Where do I add a life event?
I'm a bad person, so I didn't do it.
Oh, here it is. Life event. Work in education, family, health, and wellness. You're right, Jeff.
Ooh, there you go.
New eating habits, organ donor, weight loss, glasses, broken bone.
I'm going to donate the liver habits. I didn't eat last
night. Wait a minute. You can actually enter as a life event what body part you broke, where you broke it, who you were with, when you did it, the story, and then upload photos of it. Who knew? Overcome an illness, quit a habit. This is big news. The health and so I registered as an organ donor many moons ago. I'm going to say 97. If you're not officially registered, it's easy to sign up here, and this is the key with the appropriate registry. So if you go to facebook.com/donatelife. Donate Life America.
So what this also means is if you don't have a card on you, there's now a place to check to see what.
Yeah, it's on in California. It's on the back of our driver's license, but this would be good, so I can go register.
I wrote a post, you know, just fascinated by the norms this causes. That you know, when Super Amit needed his bone marrow transplant, and it was a great campaign to do it. I have to admit, in the back of my mind was, oh, you know, what if I did that and then I kind of win the match?
That's what you don't want, because I have a feeling that's not much fun. Yeah.
So, but that's a horrible thing, right? So I felt pressure. I didn't do a damn thing about it because I'm a schmuck, but I felt pressure to do it. And so I asked, you know, whether one could be shunned if you don't join in. And then Seth Godin came in and said, you damn well should be shunned.
You should be shunned, you son of a gun.
Drowning child, which I see the point. I mean, I don't know what to think. But it's a really interesting use of social pressure.
Yes. I signed up for bone marrow transplant many moons ago and have not been called. But you do it and you kind of hope that you don't get called, I think.
You don't want to win that lottery.
But on the other hand, if you get called, here's what I've been told. Yeah, it's a little painful. But you're literally, this is one of the few things that literally can like save a guy's life.
Yeah.
Like it's just, if it's a match, it just, you put it in the new barrel, it grows, he's done. He's fixed.
Yeah, and you get yours back. It's a cure. The harder example would be a kidney or a lung transplant.
Yeah. Which is a lot worse than getting marrow sucked out of your
bone. That's true, too.
So I'll take that anytime. So I'm filling this out right now, just so I'll be in the database, even though I'm also... it can't hurt to do it twice. And this is for your eyes, your ears, your nose, your anything. Nope. Tissues.
Nobody wants my nose. Too big.
This is good. And so 100,000 in one day. This just shows the power.
Yeah, this is definitely an example of using power for good. Neat? I was really impressed with Facebook for doing this, and I'm grateful. I'm glad that they did.
I'm going to give
them I went on the takeaway this morning on NPR, on public radio.
Yeah.
And John... John...
Takeaway guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takeaway guy.
I don't remember either.
Hockenberry.
Thank you.
So it's like it's out of a script. Well, could Facebook use this for bad purposes to like target ads to you? I said, what's the demographic? Generous people? You know?
Yeah, actually, maybe.
Oh, so true.
How can we always be so cynical about everything? Everything.
Well, the good news is this information is not going through Facebook. Well, maybe it is, but it's from Donate Life. In my case, Donate Life California. I'm not giving this information to
You are.
To Facebook.
Yeah, you're also telling Facebook that you're an overdone.
I am?
Well, in the sense that you just said you were. Yeah, you just said yes.
Yeah, but then I'm a donor. Oh, but not the not like the personal information
right.
I give here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but the fact that you are a donor or that someone else isn't.
Does it show up in your news stream when you do this?
Oh, probably.
You could decide yes if you choose to do that. Depends on who you choose to share that with.
Mm. I did something wrong with my driver's license.
I love it when Leo gets in the weeds.
I just want to do it right, and I want to do this in case I die tomorrow. You know, I could go out the door and get hit by a bus. I want to make sure that if I do, that my guts will go to somebody who needs them. There, now I'm signed up, and I can have notify friends and family. I probably should.
There you go. That's where it is.
Yeah, I'm going to notify you and you and you and all of you.
You sound like Oprah. You all been.
You've all got an organ of your choice under the seat. Good. So now I'm in the registry. Guaranteeing under the California Uniform Anatomical Gift Act that your wishes to save lives will be honored and you will not require the consent of any other person. Print this page. Keep it in your wallet. Now, I'm curious. Now, this is a good question. I'm curious. Is this going to show up in my Facebook? Leo just...
Yeah, because you said to share it.
I did. So it probably is in, yeah. Huh? All right. That's fine.
You don't have that's good. To. You can
that's,
be private.
That's where all this pressure is coming from, isn't it? Your friends are already doing this.
Right.
Peer pressure
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
This is Jeff's living in public. I mean, this is one of the
it
best,
is.
Right?
Yeah.
It is.
And I mean, to be cynical about it, it may not be about targeting ads, but it is about, or it seems like it could be about attracting health-related advertisers.
Really? Because I gave up my spleen?
Well, I mean, you opted to be an organ donor. You were probably very likely to want to donate blood, for example.
Ah, so the Red Cross might contact
you. But even then, that's not, they don't spend money on that.
Yeah.
I think the cynical, if you insist on being cynical, the chat room said you were on a tear today, Gina, and I love you being on a tear. But if you insist upon it, then I would say that what son Jake said was that it's a PR ploy.
Well, it's good. Right. They're about to go to IPO, so it just kind of makes...
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I don't think it did show up in my stream, actually. I can't see it. I don't see it showing up anywhere.
I don't see it in your stream either. It's weird.
So there you go. Maybe this is purely altruistic. Maybe Facebook just wants to save lives. What? That can't, no. That's ruining my whole worldview. Well,
then you remember longer, and then they can if they extend lives, then they actually have the lifetime value of a user, and they've extended that. So they've thus, if they have 800 million users and 1% of them live 1 year longer, then
oh, that's it.
Okay, that is truly cynical.
Now look who's being cynical. Sure.
You know, so the thing of it is
Facebook cures cancer so it can make more money.
I post everything on Facebook. They know everything about me. And I gave up. Facebook, if you were like the CIA and wanted to know where Leo was at any given moment, just go to my Facebook, public Facebook page, like 91,000 other people.
Facebook.
Caramba. That's me and Tom Anderson, by the way. There's a certain poignancy, piquant flavor to have Tom Anderson on my Facebook.
On your Facebook page. I still wish he'd be on the show.
And he's looking at me.
Looks like a cop drama.
It does look like a cop drama. Streets of Petaluma.
Hey, Trey, who killed the chickens?
Trey Ratcliffe took that great picture. I just love that.
That is great.
Yeah, and I just think, it's kind of an in-joke that I have Tom Anderson as picture on my timeline. That's MySpace Tom for those people who don't know the name. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with your tips and your numbers. And, you know, if at Lamar, you'd like to come up with an app or a tool that you like a lot, maybe the Cube, anything, we'll let you do that, too.
Thank you for that pressure.
But you don't have to, and you've got 3 minutes to figure something out.
No pressure at all. Thank you.
This portion of This Week at Google brought to you by the good folks at Citrix. We love them. They do so many great products, including the best remote access product ever that's going to change the world because it's going to take cars off the road. Gas prices going up, commute length of time getting longer. Wouldn't you like to stay home, work from home every once in a while? Do it one day a week. 20% savings in gas alone, not to mention stress. And you can have that sandwich you like so much for lunch because it's right there. That's what GoToMyPC allows. It allows you to access your work computer wherever you are, not just home, on the road, at the airport in Norway, even in Kristiansund, in the middle of nowhere. I was able to get online and check my computer, not just, by the way, on my PC or Mac, but on my iPhone and my iPad. Now, that is cool. My Android tablet sets up in minutes. No IT help is required. It's secure, 128-bit SSL. It's actually a secure way to surf. If you're in an open Wi-Fi access point, pull out your iPad, launch the free GoToMyPC app. You're now connected to your office computer. Use that to surf. It's completely secure all the way to your office computer. And, like, that's cool. In fact, if I'm in Norway and I want to watch a U.S.-only site or, you know, like that, that's how you do it. It's like VPN. It's better than VPN. It's easy to use. NAT traversal. You don't have to open ports on firewalls or anything like that. It's really a slick solution. You could try it free right now. Just go to the website. Go to mypc.com. Click the orange try it free button and use our offer code TWIG, T-W-I-G, right there where it says promo code, T-W-I-G. It's case insensitive. And then you got it for 30 days free. The iPad app is free. The iPhone app is free. The Android tablet app is free. So download the app of your choice or all three and access anytime, anywhere, your office computer. Go to mypc.com. Use the offer code TWIG, if you will. Triangulation's coming up later today. Bill Harris will be joining us. He is an interesting fella. He's got a product that competes with Mint, with Intuit.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's what it's called, personal capital. It's more for business. Same word, business. But a multi-time startup guy, very interesting fellow, the former CEO of Intuit and PayPal, kind of competing with his old company with personal capital. We'll talk about that in just a little bit at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC at twit.tv. Now it's time for Gina Trapani's Tip of the Week.
I've got a silly little Easter egg as my tip of the week.
I like this week. Silly little Easter eggs.
It's really fun, though. Type Zerg Rush into Google.
The Zerg are from StarCraft. Z-E-R-G-R-U-S-H. Wait a minute. Oh my God. Here they come. Oh, they're taking over.
So now if you point at them with your mouse, you can try to get them before they destroy everything on the page.
They're eating the page. Oh, too late. I've lost the Zerg.
Oh, you might get that last one.
Can I get him before he eats up the... Oh, whew. But apparently there's quite a few left way down here.
So you can follow them down the page.
Oh, no.
It's a little game.
So there must be a StarCraft fan.
There has to be. This is somebody's 20% time.
Yeah, this is somebody's 20% time wasted.
Had to. Yeah, so for the people listening to the audio stream, the little O's from Google are flying down the screen, and Zerg Rush in StarCraft is an attack of, like, insect-like
aliens. Yeah, they're horrible. The Zerg are horrible.
And so the little O's come down and kind of eat everything on the page. And then when you inevitably lose, as Leo has done, all sort of gather into it. Well, maybe I shouldn't give this part away.
I suspect they're going to spell Google, right? I'm just guessing. Look at this. This is so cool, actually.
The best letter in the alphabet is about to show up twice.
This is about to make me itch.
You know, we used to drop quarters to play a game this good.
And GG stands for good game.
Oh, it does.
This is a person who has a 20% life.
It's not Google. They didn't spell Google. They could have spelled Google.
That's terrible.
But they spelled good game. That's funny. Or GG.
Good game. Yeah, and then you can share your score on Google Plus, shockingly.
Yeah, unfortunately, my score sucks.
They've done it again.
Let's just see. I defended a Zerg rush on Google search. I took down 3 Zerglings with 41 APM. That's probably like the worst score ever. But I'm going to share it because I'm an idiot. There you go, Google Plus. Don't tell me I don't use Google Plus on a regular basis. Let's see. We're going to get a number of the week from Mr. Jeffrey Jarvis.
I can't decide, so I'm going to go through a whole bunch of them.
Do them all.
7.5, which is how many years Digg lived before its staff now moves to the Washington Post, and poor Digg is
how many? Did they all move?
Basically, there's no staff left.
You know, it's really interesting. Left. Kevin Rose essentially dissolved all 3 companies he started within a month.
Yeah.
Sold Milk to Google, is now at Google. By the way, I don't know what he's doing. I asked him, and he says, I can't tell you, but let me know when you want Google glasses, because I'll get them for you.
The rumor is that he's doing Google Plus. His team is working on
it. I think that rumor is wrong. But he says they won't let me talk. He says, just consider me your inside source at Google. Maybe that's just because we're friends. And then Digg, everybody leaves. Digg is like, anybody know a programmer? we kind of need a programmer. And then the latest rumor is that Revision 3, which is the media startup he started, Digg Nation, and they did a lot of shows. He and David Prager put that together. Is about to be sold to Discovery for something like $20 to $40 million. So that'll be it. Kevin will be out. He'll be like an employee, and he'll have millions of dollars. So Kevin,
but he won't have as many as, of course, the other number we have about Kevin is $60 million, which is how much
Business Week said
famously, that he was worth.
Well, now Digg is.
So that's one set of numbers. Then we have $6.25 million, which is the amount that Facebookers invested in Jim Gilliam's company, Nation Builder, which is kind of cool. He's the guy who did the great video, The Internet is My Religion.
Oh, that's
from
neat.
PDF.
Good for him.
I like that. And then we have 17% in an American Express survey say that they use social media to get customer service. Now, the irony of this to me is I went on social media to complain about American Express, and they ignored me. And I don't use my Green Card anymore. I've been a member since I don't know when. I don't use it.
But you are still in the AARP, right?
Hey. It's the camera that makes the hair look gray.
I'm not complaining. The grocery store across the street every Thursday, 10% off if you're over 55. I'll tell you, taking a senior discount for the first time, which I did last week or a couple weeks ago, is both simultaneously delightful and depressing.
Depends on what you get. Did you get the X-Lax or the...
Depends. Depends. Lamar, did you, we gave you some time now, did you come up with a tool?
I didn't, but I do have a mini rant.
Okay.
Ooh, let's hear it. We like
okay.
Rant.
You got to do it in full Lamarism here, Lamar. Come on.
Talk about the Twitter story where they were considering buying the app Camera Plus. And so I had a rant prepared for that. I don't understand all these different tools that we have for pictures. Like Instagram is a social network just for pictures, and Camera Plus, and you have all these other ones. What happened to just using the good old-fashioned apps that are built into the phone, the regular camera, when I take a picture of my iPhone, it goes to Google Plus, which is where I want to store all of my pictures. And I just, and if I want to store, send it to Twitter, it goes to Twitter's, which uses a photo bucket. So they, Facebook has their own. So I just never like got into Instagram or all these extra features when the phones or in these services that we use have their own features. So my rant is use Google Plus, use the photos. They're it's free. It stores it. Why are we creating other networks when we have stuff that's already available? And that's my rant.
That segues so nicely to my tool of the week.
Does it?
Pinstagram.
Oh no.
Combine Instagram.
I'm leaving.
With your Pinterest account. The two together. No, Lamar, it's really great. Look at this. Pinstagram. It's even got skeuomorphic leather stitching like we all love. So now I don't have to go to Instagram or Pinterest. I get both in a single page. Pinstagram.co. Hey, you got Pinterest in my Instagram. You got Instagram in my Pinterest. Two great tastes in one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, that was the rant and the anti-rant.
That was a really a perfect segue.
It was. It really was.
I had no idea what was going on.
I did that to you on purpose. I set you up and then I knocked you down. Go to Wilson Tech One. He's at Wilson Tech One on Twitter. He's also, of course, youtube.com/WilsonTech1 and making silly faces. Look at that. Oh, hey, baby.
Oh, no.
Oh, baby.
Whoa,
oh,
nice.
Baby. Is this the new? Is this the Barry White Lamar Wilson that we've been waiting for?
It was based on that stupid hot problems video. Give me, I was trying to be a hot tech guy.
Yeah, baby. You know, with a guy like me.
And by the way, that is chest hair. That is not a disease. Everybody in the comments.
What do you got, measles? What is that? Chickenpox.
Oh, Lamar, man, pop collar is awesome.
A great pleasure. Always, always good to have you on. Thank you for being here.
This is one of my favorite shows ever. Seriously, Twig, I've watched it since day one. I'm so honored to be on here.
Well, we'll have you back.
We are honored to have you, man.
Yeah, you are a great addition.
So you
can be in charge of the rant. We got tip, tool, number, and now rant.
Yes.
Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com. It's not a buzzkill. It gets you excited about life. If you want to follow him at Twitter, it's at Jeff Jarvis. Of course, Jeff Jarvis on Google Plus as well. And his book, One Must Have, is called Public Parts.
Thank you for the plug.
Buy it today. Life in public. Nothing better. Thank you, Jeff. Gina Trapani.
Take my organs, please.
They're saying in the chat room, make that guy a weekly regular. Lamar, we love him. They love you, Lamar.
I second that.
By the way, Barry White, never dressed in white, according to Logan Five.
Really?
Just so you know.
Okay.
I don't know why, if that's true or not. It's just a great, it's good. It's like one of those false facts, you know.
I have to ask Reddit about that.
Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. She's also plus Gina Trapani on the Google Plus. And her app, thinkupapp.com. One button install just around the corner any day now, I'm sure.
Any day now.
Excited.
Great to have you back, Leo.
Great to be back. Thank you all for joining us. We do This Week in Google, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2000 UTC, at twit.tv. Tune in and watch it live. But if you can, of course, we make audio and video available for download after the fact at twit.tv almost immediately, as quickly as our little editors can scurry. Stay tuned. TNT is up next. Tech News Today. After Tech News Today, it's Triangulation. As again, we mentioned, Bill Harris of Personal Capital will be our guest. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time on Twig.